5, verses 1 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. And that'll be on Pew Bible page 300. Sorry. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now, the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophets who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be renewed, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh became restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. And then continuing at 16 through 20, and that will be on Pew Bible page 839. Hear again the word of our Lord. "After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move around from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet you know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven with a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the ways you are with us, the ways you look out for us, care for us, and guide us. We ask, Lord, that you will guide the meditations of our minds and hearts this day. And we ask that your word would light our path and lead us. Lead us to be your people in a hurting and broken world, a world very much in need of your love, in need of your presence. May your word lead us to be that presence in our world. In your blessed and wondrous name, amen. Go and do. Just a few words. And each time it's said, it carries with it such a weight of meaning. It's like telling the kids that saying sorry is the first step, and that sorry isn't just words. Sorry is the actions that you make, the things that you do that follow your words. Now, just 2 weeks ago, we read about God picking up and lifting up Elijah as he is at his breaking point. Last Sunday, we saw that moment where Elijah called Elisha. And now we find him ensconced as the prophet over all Israel. But then in this moment, we also read of a foreign general coming to the land. A foreign general who is cursed with leprosy. When the general hears that there is a prophet in Israel who might heal him, he asks permission. And before we say his king is altruistic, his king sends a letter not to the prophet, but to the king of said country, saying, hey, Ahab, heal my general. But as things happen, Elisha sets things right. And this grand general comes to visit him. This grand general, this great warrior, comes. But instead of meeting with him, the prophet just sends a message saying, yeah, just go jump in the Jordan, wash yourself 7 times, and you'll be healed. And as we fast forward several generations, we see Jesus. Jesus, in a moment, telling 35 pairs of his followers, 70 followers, to go forth into all the towns in which he intends to go. And he tells them to go and do. Their task is a little bit greater than washing 7 times in the Jordan. He tells them how they're going to interact, what they're going to do, how they're going to heal, what they're supposed to do if they are not welcome in a town, what are they are to do in terms of how they are supposed to sustain themselves. He tells them what creature comforts to not bring as they go forth in faith. He tells them that he is sending them out like lambs among wolves to proclaim the coming of God's kingdom. Go and do. What stands out here is not necessarily the command from Christ or Elisha to go and do, but the two different responses. On the one hand, we have Naaman, who is told to simply wash in the Jordan 7 times, and he balks at it. Maybe it's the dirtiness of the river. Maybe it's the lack of grandeur of it. Maybe it's the fact that this great grand general doesn't even get to see the great prophet of God. He just sees a message delivered, brought to him, told to him. But then, when he's reminded of his own commitment to be healed, his desire to be healed, the deep, overwhelming drive he has to be healed, he goes and he does. As we see the 70 followers of Christ prepare to go out, we can hear their knees shaking a little bit as they get ready. We can picture this moment where Jesus tells them, this is what you need to bring. And all of a sudden, all the hands go up in the air. So, Jesus, no walking stick, right? I can't bring a... And trying to, as people do, wiggle their way around a point of discomfort. I know, Jesus, you said don't take any food, but what if I just pack a little snack, you know, just one piece of fruit, some dried fish, you know, just a little something. Jesus, I know you said don't take any money, but what about like a little bit of money to send a message home? Tell you that we're doing okay? No? We can feel their trepidation as they prepare to go forth. And Jesus then tells them exactly what they are to do. He draws it out for them. So there's no question, no quibbling. And then we hear of the overwhelming joy that comes. Just like there was overwhelming joy from Naaman when he was finally cured. At the center of these two stories is faith. Faith that allows things to happen. On the one side, we see the internal battle that stepping out on faith has. We see that the disciples preparing to set out and can see their worry, their fear. They are lambs being sent to the wolves. That's not exactly a selling point, folks. Telling a great general, yeah, go jump in the river 7 times and you'll be clean. But not doing so face to face? That general is, we read of his overwhelming frustration. And yet, in the midst of that fear, that frustration, they still go and do. They still have faith to act. It's fairly simple instructions, not too complex. Hop in the Jordan and wash yourself, and you will be clean of leprosy. I mean, think about it. If you were suffering with leprosy, with a disease that is slowly eating your flesh, and someone were to tell you, if Christ were to tell you, jump in the Esopus or the Hudson and you will be made clean. Okay. Maybe we should use different bodies of water. But if Christ were to say, jump in those bodies of water, and you'll be made clean. Would you slow down? Would you stop? The hope is that you would be the first one right down to the creek, the first one running down to the river. This is Naaman, though. He's used to people serving him, coming when he calls. In his country, while his disease is debilitating, there isn't the painful burden of being clean and unclean. Then there's the burden of the geopolitical aspect of things. He knows his king has used him as a tool. And so when he comes, he's frustrated. His faith is challenged as Elisha simply sits there with his feet up in an easy chair with a good scroll and a cup of coffee saying, yeah, go wash in the Jordan. You know, just tell him, the game is on, Israel's playing Judah, I have to watch. Just tell him to go jump in the Jordan. That's how this feels. That's how it feels. Understand, Naaman has to be as frustrated as someone who wants a face-to-face meeting, needs a face-to-face meeting, and can't get it because he thinks that face-to-face matters. Instead, he needs to be reminded that all it takes is that simple act of faith. When the disciples get ready to set out, you can imagine the worry and fear, the questions in their minds. Man, I have to go with you? Jesus, you have to think they're sent out in pairs. You can't think every pair gets along. Every pair is perfect. We don't match up well. We don't get along. All of the excuses that always come when God asks you to go and do. We already mentioned that they probably are raising their hands trying to figure out a way to wiggle around the whole statement of don't bring these things. And as Jesus gives them their instructions, there's this moment where faith takes a hand. The faith to walk forth. Go forth, one foot in front of the other, to follow what God has set out for them. It sounds so simple when it's just go and do. But that's the problem, is we often oversimplify the levels of faith that exist in our lives. The levels of faith and just the personal struggles that faith requires within us. An act of faith is not easy. It requires us to leap out. It's called the leap of faith for a reason. It's not the walk one foot in the other of faith. You're taking a risk. You're taking a chance. For Naaman, the risk is of stumbling and looking like a fool. He goes and washes in the Jordan, and if he's not healed, he looks like a fool. Throw on to that, if he's not healed, what is the geopolitical problem that's going to come? Israel is going to be attacked by Aram because they didn't heal this general. They didn't act compassionately. And if you don't think Aram's going to do that, then we need to talk about how it's not the world of Disney out there, folks. When we look at the disciples, there is genuine risk for them as they go to towns and aren't welcomed. As they risk going to towns where they are rejected, as they risk the ability to stand out there and try and heal someone. That's risk. And that takes faith to do so. They're risking everything. When we look at faith and think of it as simple, we neglect that it is tied so deeply with risk and chance and the ability to just go. Faith is the ability to move forward, trusting in the path and the horizon that God sets for you. It's about knowing the risks understanding them, and in spite of them, still placing your trust in God. Hopefully, we won't be asked to jump into the Esopus or the Hudson to be healed, because then you're going to have to take a shower and a bunch of other things. But that doesn't mean God isn't going to ask us to step out in faith, to risk in faith, to go and do. But the question is, what will we do? Will we raise our hands and try and quibble about, I know you said not to take this, God, but can I? Will we do that? Will we get frustrated like Naaman? I can't believe you're asking me to do this, God. Or will we trust in God and allow God to set that horizon for us and take the steps along the way? May we take those steps. And not just steps, but take that leap, even if we aren't very good at leaping. Amen.